this is the first year that we haven't had a sunrise service since I've been pastor. And, well, I still had a good breakfast. We've always had a sunrise service, and then we have a good breakfast afterwards. And so I'm thankful to be a part and different services today. I'm thankful for what the Lord's doing. I'm thankful He's still out of the grave. Amen. This hasn't caught Him by surprise. And we'll have service today. I appreciate everyone tuning in that can tune in and view this live and be able to be a part of it. I once again encourage you, get your church clothes on. Get ready to have church. We've came to this morning so that we can worship Him. And I hope that you've had an opportunity. Some of you have hymn books at the house. Some of you don't. If you're wanting to look them up, I know most of the lyrics will be online. You can look them up on your phone, maybe view from one, or put this on the TV and view from it. And then the other one, you can look up the lyrics to the song. The first one we're going to sing, if you've got one of our song books, page number 20, When I See the Blood. I'm thankful it is about the blood. It's amazing to me how many people have crosses. I've thought about this morning as I was praying and getting ready for this morning message. I'm going to put an empty tomb out in front of our house. I'm not going to put a cross. As much as I'm thankful for the cross, I'm really thankful for the empty tomb. Blood still applied, but may I tell you that if He wouldn't have rose from the dead, the blood wouldn't have ever been applied. It would have been shed, and it would have just died in that tomb. But I'm thankful that He arose, but I'm thankful that the blood's still there today. Page number 20, When I See the Blood. Let's stand, if you're willing. Let's stand, and we'll sing out. Christ our Redeemer died on the cross, died for the sinner, paid all His due. All who receive Him need never fear. Yes, He will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Chiefest of sinners, Jesus can save. As He has promised, so will He do. O sinner, hear Him, trust in His word. Then He will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. On the third, judgment is coming, all will be there. Who have rejected, who have refused. O sinner, hasten, let Jesus in. Then God will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. On the last, oh, what compassion, oh, boundless love. Jesus hath power, Jesus is true. All who believe are safe from the storm. Oh, He will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Amen. Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You for this day, this opportunity that we have to come to Your house, Lord, to worship You. Father, I know that we celebrate the resurrection every day of our life as a born-again child of God. But Lord, as we take special note, and Lord, just special remembrance today, and we rejoice in the fact that you didn't stay in that tomb, that that grave didn't hold you, Lord. I'm thankful, Father, to rejoice in my eternal salvation because I have a living Savior today. And Lord, I'm thankful that that blood still applied and that it's on my life. And Lord, when you see that blood, I know, Father, that you don't see my sins. You don't see me as a sinner. Instead, you see your Son, and I'm thankful for that, and I praise you for it. And I just pray that you would meet with us this morning, Lord, in a special way. And I just ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Take your hymn books, if you would. Turn over to page number 31, He Lives. Now, some of these we don't sing a whole lot, so bear with me. Page number 31, He Lives. I believe this is one of my songs I remember growing up as a child. And you ask me how I know He lives, because He lives within my heart. And I'm thankful if you're here today and you say, "Preacher, I don't know that." I'm thankful you can, before this service is over, you can ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior. And it's not because I'm special, it's not because I'm a pastor that He came to live with me. It's because He promised that He would. And He came and He abode in my heart forever. And He'll do the very same thing for you. All right, page number 31.
I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see His loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of His appearing will come at last. He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. On the last, rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King. The hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
Amen. A few announcements. I guess it's really very simple. We don't have any birthdays or anniversaries this week. Do want to thank you all for tuning in. And I've really enjoyed our Wednesday night services. I encourage you to go back. If you haven't viewed those, go back and look at them and view those. God's really met with us, just had some great times, and being able to talk to one another and some times of fellowship. I believe that prayer is the most essential part that we need right now. Staying together, communicating one to another. If you need me, please call me, text me, whatever you need. definitely in prayer. We've got some things going on this week as far as the church and church members, and do pray for them. We've mentioned them all on Wednesday night. And also with that, we don't know how long this is lasting. Pray for our country. Pray for the medical staff, the medical professionals that are out there that are helping tend to those that are sick. And I do encourage you, be wise. This is a shelter in place until the end of the month. And it is, you don't know how you're going to respond if you get this virus. And the medical professionals are needing us to stay in place to where we won't get it or not likely to get it. And be wise, use good hygiene, of course, and prayer. And some had said, well, if I get it and it's my time to go, it's my time to go. That's a very bold thing to say. What if you get it and you'd live, but yet you give it to someone else and they die? That's very humbling and very sobering to think of. And so I just encourage you to be wise through this and listen to what the authorities are saying. And we'll see the Lord bring us through it. And just pray for those that are involved in it. Pray for those that are still having to work. And pray for their safety as well. All right, take your hymn books, page number 36. Page number 36, we'll look here. Christ Arose. I don't think I could come today and not sing this. This is Jeremiah's favorite song. Now, it's definitely Sister Sarah leads this to the children more than I do. Those that are watching that are in her Sunday school class, you're familiar with this. And I'm thankful He arose. He arose. Page number 36. Let's stand, if you're willing and able. Amen. Page number 36. Lo, in the grave He lay, Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave He arose, with a mighty triumph for His foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and He lives forever with His saints to reign. He arose, He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Vainly they watched His bed, Jesus my Savior. Vainly they sealed the dead, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave He arose, with a mighty triumph for His foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and He lives forever with His saints to reign. He arose, He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. On the third, death cannot keep His prey, Jesus my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave He arose, with a mighty triumph for His foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and He lives forever with His saints to reign. He arose, He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Amen. Amen. God didn't call me to be a song leader or even a singer. He called me to be a preacher. And I'm thankful I get to sing to Him. It's a privilege and a blessing to be able to sing the songs of Zion and just praise Him for who He is and what He's done. And the Bible says, make a joyful noise.
it also says to play skillfully. And so I do believe that we shouldn't just get up here and wing it, if you would, but I do believe that God would take our efforts and use them to His glory. And I apologize for my singing, but yet I don't apologize for why I'm singing or who I'm singing to. Amen. Take your Bibles this morning, if you would, and turn over to Matthew chapter number 28. Matthew chapter 28. We'll look here as we get started at the resurrection. I'd like to look at this first resurrection morning. I'm thankful there's another resurrection day coming. I'm excited that He's coming back again, and He's coming back this time. I'm going to be raptured or resurrected, if you would. He's going to resurrect those that are dead in Christ. Of course, they're already with Him in soul and in spirit, but there will be a bodily resurrection, and mortality will put on immortality, and corruption will put on incorruption. And I'm thankful that there's coming another day, but I'd like to look at this first resurrection morning and the time when Jesus arose from the dead, and just see what the Lord would have for us this morning. Matthew 28, verse number 1. The Bible says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door." May I remind you that the angel came back to roll the stone away, not because Jesus needed out, but because there was no way they could see in. And Jesus was already not there. And the Bible says, "And after He rolled that stone from the door, He sat upon it." Verse number 3. "And His countenance was like lightning, and His raiment white as snow. And for fear of Him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angels answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified." Verse number 6, "He is not here, for He is risen, as He said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell His disciples that He is risen from the dead. And behold, He goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall ye see Him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring the disciples word. And as they went to tell His disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held Him by the feet and worshipped Him. And verse number 10, "Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me." Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You for this day. Thank You for the opportunity that we have, Lord, that we had recall the first resurrection morning, Lord, and just be able to rejoice these 2,000 years later, and Father, that we still have a resurrected Savior, that none of these things have taken You off guard, Lord, that none of them have worried You. You're still in control. You're still on the throne. And Lord, I pray that You'd meet with us today. Lord, maybe there's one here that has never received You as their Savior. They would, maybe they've prayed a prayer, they've attended church, they've done all these things, but they've never came to Your saving grace. I pray, Lord, that that wouldn't be the case after the message, Lord, that they would see their need ever so great today. And then, Lord, as a child of God, I'm thankful that we can still see You. And Lord, I pray that You'd meet with us today, and Lord, that You would just encourage us, and Father, comfort us through Your truth. And Lord, we may be separated from each other tonight or today. And Lord, we may not be able to come all under the same house, same roof, Lord. But I'm thankful that we're not separated from You. And that grave didn't hold You back, but instead You arose and You arose. And Lord, You still have arose. And Lord, I pray, meet with us this morning in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. And I'm thankful for how the Lord's met and dealt through this time. I was thinking this morning as we were coming that I don't ever want this to be the norm. I don't ever want to get used to it. I'm trying to learn some of it and be more proficient with it. But in the same sense, it's not church to me. And yes, we're having church. I've came here so that I can worship the Lord. I've went ahead and I've got everything around to where it's supposed to be. And nothing's changed. I've got everything the same as any other Sunday morning. You're just not sitting here. And so it is different. But I'm thankful He's here and He meets with us. And so I was looking at this time in this case as I was reading this passage and praying this week about what to preach. I can't help but think that in this time, especially this morning, as people of this world would really look and they would want to see if they could really see who Jesus is and what Jesus has done, and maybe even in this turmoil of the uncertainty that's going on, they would come to that place that they would wonder, is He real, and what has He done, and who is He really, and what's He going to do, and how does all this fit into place? And I believe that there's some people that really want to see who Jesus is. I do believe that there's still people that want to be saved. I do believe that there's, the Bible teaches us that there's, yes, there's a falling away, but may I tell you that Jesus still saves today. And the Bible teaches us that that He's long-suffering, that He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And so I look at this and I understand that there's many that are wanting to see Him, even to the point that, well, they'll add a holiday for Him. Those that would mock Him all year long have crosses in their yards. Do they really want to see Him, or are they just going through emotion? And so I look and I think about how simple the gospel message is. Hold your place in Matthew, and I want you to turn over the book of 1 Corinthians 15. Now, there's only one gospel message. It's given several times throughout, in fact, many times throughout the Bible. But I'd like to give you the simplest form that I could possibly give you. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Verses 1 through 4 give us the simplest account of the gospel. What is the gospel? Now, I remind you that gospel simply means good news. It's good news that you don't have to stay dead. We had passed the cemetery on the way here this morning, and there was a vehicle out there that I thought looked like someone that we knew, and it wasn't, but Jeremiah had asked, what's the cemetery? Now, he's known before, and we've explained it to him before and told him what it is, and I'm thankful that that cemetery is a place where the body goes, but it's not for the soul and the spirit. Man, I'm thankful as a child of God that it's good news that I don't have to go to an eternal damnation, because there's only two places to go. There's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to be shunned. And so it's one or the other. And when you die, well, as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. And so that body may be there, but their soul and their spirit is either in hell or it's in heaven. And so I look and I think about the good news that comes with it. You don't have to go to hell. That's good news. And so we find here in verse number 1 of 1 Corinthians 15, the Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand," verse 2, "by which ye also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received," how, notice this, is the very first part of the gospel, "how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." Very first part. He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Then, in verse number 4, "and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." That is the gospel message. He died for our sins, and that He arose again the third day. Now, I find this in the simplest form. I find the reason Jesus died was for our sins. I find the remedy, at least man's remedy, for Jesus' death. Man couldn't do anything with it. He was dead. So what'd they do? Bury Him. May I tell you, that's exactly where we are today. We try to cover up. We were discussing that in Jesus' day when we were coming, and we were explaining to Jeremiah about the cemetery, that in Jesus' day they didn't bury Him like that. They would have been in a cave. They would have it would have stood out. It would have been to the place that they would have been able to see it afar off. And may I tell you, that's the very same thing with the old dead man, the old lost man. You can see him afar off as much as man wants to cover him up. And so I find here that there was a remedy to Jesus' death, at least man's remedy. Let's just put him in the tomb. Let's seal it. Let's make it as sure as we can, and we'll call it done. But I'm thankful that I find the resurrection of Jesus. And so I look here, and I find that he arose from the dead. Go on over in chapter number 15. I want you to look at verses 13 through 19. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, look at verse number 13. Actually, we'll look at verse number 12. It all goes together. Now, if Christ be preached that he arose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? You know, it's amazing to me how many believe that he arose from the dead, but they've never had him save them from their sin. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God. I'm thankful I'm not a Jehovah's false witness. I'm a Jehovah's witness. I'm his true witness. And so I look and I find, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. May I tell you, what I am not is most miserable. I'm thankful that Jesus arose from the dead, but I'm thankful that he forgave me of my sins, and that I'm going to be his, that I'm his, and that I'm going to be with him for all eternity. Go back over to our text, and I want you to look at this with me. And I find here what Jesus is doing and how he's comforting his people. But may I tell you, this is applied to all. It's not just the fact that the saved can enjoy him. It's the fact that the lost can get saved and they can enjoy him too. And so I think about verse number 7 of our text, and this is where I get the thought or the topic that we're going to look at today. In Matthew 28, look at verse number 7. The Bible says, and go quickly. Now, I guess we need to attach the fact that Jesus had told them where that they needed to go. He's not dead. He's risen. He's not here. And come to the place, look at where he lay. Now go quickly in verse number 7 and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, they goeth before you. I'm sorry, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And go on over into verse number 10. In verse number 10, Jesus meets them as they're on the way, and he said unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee. And there shall they see me. And so I look here and I think about what God's doing and the importance of this. We find this twice in this text. There shall ye see him. And then Jesus had even said, there shall they see me. And the account in the book of Mark, it gives us the same phrase. There shall ye see him. And so I just began to kind of meditate on this as God was speaking to my heart. And I see the impact of this phrase. First thing that I find is the promise of seeing. He says, there shall ye see him. And so I look and I think about the promise that he has that we can see him. But then I go as well and I find that there's a person of seeing. Not just the promise of seeing and shall, but I find the purpose to see, or the person to see, is Jesus. He says that there shall ye see him. And so I find that it's the one that we're looking for. We should. May I tell you, he's the answer to everything. I know, you say, preacher, how's he going to fix the economy? Well, when you have him and he's in control and he's in charge of your life, I don't have to worry about it. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So I don't have any fear. I don't have any worry. You say, preacher, have you not looked at your retirement account? Well, I really don't have one, but when I had a 401k, I noticed I got my statement yesterday, and I lost several hundred dollars worth. Well, due to the fact of the way everything's going. And you say, preacher, what are you going to do? I don't really care. It's not my problem. I know who I belong to, and I know whose responsibility it is to take care of me. And so I think about this person that I'm looking for. I'm thankful that the one that they were looking for was the one that they said that they could see. Shall ye see him there. And so I find the people of seeing. In verse number 10, he says, they. Now, I want to explain this for a moment. I want to remind you where these disciples were. It was the women that had gotten up and they had went to the tomb. It was the women that took charge, men. It's amazing to me that they got up and got going, and they wanted to go and do everything, and they were worried because there wasn't a man there to roll back the stone. But boy, God knew that the men were going to be in hiding, and he had even came and said, look, go tell them that they shall see me there. And so I look and I think about the they, and the ones that were in hiding, the ones that were without hope, the ones that were without help, the ones that needed it most. And he said, they shall see me. And then I find as well, I find the ye. Now, this is you, plural. This is everyone. And so when we could say that, there shall ye see him, we could say that everyone can see him there. But here's the problem in this phrase. There. There. You know what I find today? Is more people are willing to see him as long as they can see him here. You see, and I'm going to explain this in a moment. But Jesus wasn't in the tomb. But he'd meet him there, as he had said he would. And so I look at this and I began to think about the fact that we need to see him today. We need to see him. We need to see him in the place and in the midst of the coronavirus. We need to see him in the midst of the economic struggle. We need to see him in the false promises. And listen, I don't know if we're really going to get a stimulus check. I don't know. I don't know how long this is going to last. No one does. We don't. It's amazing how many people are going to die from this. And you say, well, preacher, if we'd really do this in the percentage and see how small of a percent, it really doesn't matter how many, it's still life. There's still someone affected. And so we need to see him today. And I pulled this promise that God gives us there. Shall you see him? There shall you see him. If you would, notice first of all that we should see him when you remember the Scripture. May I tell you that he is not seen in tradition. I would encourage you to remember where they were going that morning. You say, preacher, they were going to the tomb, but what was there, the dead? You see, they were going to that place in tradition, and I would even be as brave as to ask you why. And I know some of you are going to get super spiritual on me and super smart on me all of a sudden. Listen, we live in Georgia, and we're a rural community in Georgia. It's amazing how smart we get all of a sudden. And you'd say, well, preacher, they were going so that they could treat the body so that it would decompose properly and everything would be the way it's supposed to be. But may I tell you that some of that's true. But they were also adding sweet-smelling fragrance. You know, the body would have decomposed if they would have just left the stone there. No, part of this was they were going for their tradition. Jonathan was telling me yesterday, or he was telling me this morning, that yesterday there was a family that had came out, and they have a cemetery there at their church, and he said that, Dad, they spent forever. They have their loved one that's there has one of the older headstones that's in that cemetery. And they had taken water and soap and scrub brushes and they scrubbed that headstone and they wiped and they cleaned and they polished on that headstone as much as they could to get it back. For what? They're not there. And so I think about this tradition, and I think about the response in Luke chapter number 24 and verse number 5 when the angel had spoke to him. He also had said, as they were afraid and bowed down their face to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? And so I think about the tradition of today. It's amazing at how many people celebrate Easter. Now, I know that I've always called it Resurrection Sunday because, you know, it's amazing. We had to explain to our four-year-old this week who the Easter Bunny was. You see, because since Pembroke is in a shelter in place, they didn't have the annual Easter egg hunt and the annual bunny photos and everything going on. And, you know, we had boiled eggs yesterday and we didn't even color one of them. Our chickens automatically do it. We've got blue eggs and we've got brown eggs and we've got white eggs and we've got some speckled eggs. We didn't have to color any of them. Boy, praise the Lord, isn't that great how that works? But may I tell you that God isn't in any of that tradition. I think as well, He's not in the fancy clothes on Easter Sunday. He's not in the family reunions on Easter Sunday. He's not in the sunrise service. You say, preacher, we didn't get to have a sunrise service today, and I thought that you liked the sunrise service. I do, but it's just tradition. May I tell you, He's not into tradition. And so I think as well, say, preacher, how am I going to see Him? Well, you're going to see Him in truth. I find that the Bible tells us in John chapter 17 and verse 17, He says, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. Isn't it amazing at how many people blaspheme Him all year long? Except for Christmas time, they'll believe in His birth, and at Easter time, obviously they believe in the death, because they'll put up a cross. May I remind you that God's not even in the cross outside in your room, outside in your yard. He's not in the cross. I'm thankful He's not still on the cross. That's why I said I want to put an empty tomb outside our house. People walk by and or drive by and go, what in the world is that? Whew, praise the Lord. My Savior, as much as He's not on the cross, He's not in the tomb either. Boy, I'm telling you, we need to just get a bunch of empty things and put them around and say, hey, God's not in this either. It's amazing. He's in the truth, but so many times we don't want in the Word of God. I look at our text in Matthew 28. Look at verse number 6. How many times has God spoke to us and we haven't ever listened? He's not here, for He is risen. And I like this last part, this little prepositional phrase there. As He said. You know why they had to put that, why God put that on there? Why as the angel was speaking, you know why He put this on there? Because we need to be reminded. It's the way God said. It's still going to be that way. I think about 1 Corinthians 15. I give you verses 1 through 4. The simplest form of the gospel. May I remind you that He died for our sins according to Scripture. And that He rose the third day according to Scripture. Why is it so important? Well, John 5 and verse number 39, Jesus said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of Me. I think about the very first account that we were told about the cross. Found in the book of Genesis, chapter number 3, and verse number 15. You say, preacher, Jesus wasn't in Genesis chapter number 3. Oh, He was. He was in Genesis chapter number 1, and verse number 1, in the beginning, God. But then I find in Genesis 3 and verse number 15, we're told about the cross. We're told about the empty tomb. You see, it was the empty tomb that crushed the head. So I find in Genesis chapter number 3 and verse number 15, I'll read it to you. It says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. May I tell you that Satan thought he had it. Jesus died on the cross. He's in the tomb. Put the stone there to make it as sure as it could. And on that third day, Satan's head was crushed. Oh, he might have bit the heel. But it was all God's plan. And so I remind you, we'll see Him when we remember the Scripture. And there shall you see Him when you realize you're a sinner. When you realize you're a sinner. So often, people are quick to celebrate the resurrection. I told you before, I'm not a big Christmas or Easter fan, but I do like the opportunity that it gives me to want to tell others
about Jesus because everyone knows Him. We live in the Bible Belt, and some people think you're the buckle of the Bible Belt because everyone saved has been two or three times. Just ask them. And so I look and I find that in this idea of folks at this time with a religious holiday, it's a good excuse and a good reason why we can tell them about the Savior. But you realize how many people never see themselves as a sinner? They know Him. They know that He's God. They know that He came and that He died on the cross. And they know that He went to the tomb and that He arose the third day. But they do not see themselves as a sinner. You see, you don't need a Savior until you see yourself as a sinner. And so I wonder why we don't see Him. I would tell you that it's when we'll realize that we're a sinner because we're seeing the work of man. I'd like you to look around today and just see the wickedness of our world. Take your Bibles and turn over to the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 3. And I'd like you to look. I got several verses I want to give you, but I want you to start in verse number 9 in Romans chapter number 3. In Romans chapter number 3, verse number 9, the Bible says, "What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jew and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." Look at verse 13. "Their throat is an open sepulcher. Their tongues, they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness." Now, you know, it's amazing to me at how many people celebrate this day and say that they're His, and yet God's describing their lifestyle right here. And then in verse 15, "Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. And therefore," in verse 20, "by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." And so I look here and I find that we'll see Him. There shall you see Him when you realize you're a sinner. When we see the work of man, may I remind you that every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. And so I look here and I find that it's our ways. And this world today wants to say that it's really not that bad, and we would justify it man to man. And we'd say we really don't have these problems. We're really not that bad. I know a man that I've witnessed to for years, and he had told me that God's going to take his good, and he's going to take his bad, and he's going to weigh them, and he's been better than he's been worse. And so the good's going to outweigh it. But the problem is he does not realize that he has no good to put on the scale, because there's none good, no, not one. And so you'll never see him until you see yourself as a sinner. And so I would encourage you, as you look at the work of man, to consider the wages of sin. I think about in James chapter number 2. In verse number 10, it says, "Therefore, for whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." May I remind you that if we could look on down into verse number 23 of Romans chapter number 3, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Every single one of us in this room and watching through YouTube, every channel, every means that you have, everyone in this world is all fallen short. Because of that, there's a wage that's due. You know, it's funny. And the world has came to the place that they expect, or at least this nation expects, the country or the government to help in this time economically. But for free. For free. I'm not saying that the stimulus check is a bad thing. Listen, if they want to give me money for free, I'll take money for free. I'm fine with that. Anyone wants to give me money for free, I'm big enough to say I'll take money for free. But may I tell you that nothing's really free? Someone has to pay for it somewhere. And the Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. If you walk away from this and you go, you know, I'm never going to sin again. I understand how vile of a person I've been in the past. And I'm going to turn over that new leaf. And I'm going to have that to where I never sin again. And everything's going to be in place. And boy, my sins are all under there. May I tell you, it's still under there. The past sins are still going to have to be dealt with. I'm thankful that 2,000 years ago when Jesus had went to the cross, that all my sins were future. But when I came to the knowledge of needing a Savior, I had some sins in the past. And they needed forgiving. It wasn't the fact that I could walk away, and by the way, you'll never be able to not sin because you have that old sin nature. Let me remind you that we're sinners not because we sin, but we sin because we're sinners. No one makes you lie. You just choose to. And so I look at this and I think about the fact that the wages of sin is death. Now, we know in Revelation chapter number 20, verses 14 and 15, the Bible tells us in death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. This is the death that it's speaking about with the wages of sin. The wages of sin is death. It's speaking about that second death, that eternal death, that separation from God forever. And so I find that there's some out there today that have never considered or never seen their wages of sin. But I'm thankful in verse number 23 of Romans chapter 6, as much as it says that the wages of sin is death, it says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. May I remind you why He came? You're looking at Him. He came for me. He came for you. He came for all mankind. To give us that free gift of eternal life that we can see Him as our Savior. And so as I keep with this thought of there shall ye see Him, when we remember the Scriptures, when we realize we're a sinner, and when you receive Him as your Savior. We sing a song in the choir, it's called He's Still Passing By. You know, I'm thankful that there was a day in my life that He passed by. And He came by in the place where I am. And so I ask you today, would you receive Him as your Savior when He comes to your place? I want you to take your Bibles and turn over to the book of John, chapter number 20. I'm reminded of a man who was one of His disciples. And the first resurrection evening, He had met with 10 of His disciples. Thomas was not with them. 8 days later, Thomas is in the room. And in John chapter number 20, if you would, look at verse number 24. Thomas is so brave. Now, I believe that we really give Thomas a bad rap. We really are kind of cruel to him in this thought that, boy, if I was one of His disciples, I wouldn't have been like that. If I was that way, or if I would have seen all of these things, I would have believed the others. When they gave me the testimony, it's amazing to me that when God's Word says it, we don't believe it. When someone who's experienced it, we don't believe it. And we've got to see it for ourselves. May I tell you that salvation is one of those that you have to come on your own. And you have to receive Him. It's not because your preacher has. It's not because your parent has. It's when you come to the place that you'll trust Him as your own personal Savior. And so I look and I think about this time after He's been resurrected from the dead.
And Thomas comes in play in John chapter number 20, verse number 24. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hand the hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." You know, it just kind of dawned on me before you and God and all everyone in the internet that it's amazing that he knew all that accuracy. I guess John, when he had went back home, or maybe it was when the women had came back home, they told of everything that had happened. Or maybe the disciples were just following so far off instead of just in hiding. Just a thought there. But he said, "I won't believe it until I can do this." Look at verse 26. "And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. And then came Jesus, and the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, 'Peace be unto you.' And then saith he to Thomas, 'Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing.' And Thomas answered and said unto him, 'My Lord and my God.'" Look at verse 29. "Jesus saith unto him, 'Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed.'" You say, "Preacher, I thought I could see him there." You can, but it's going to be through the eyes of faith. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 8 and 9, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And so I consider what God's doing here. May I tell you, it's only going to be by faith. You're going to have to see Him through the eyes of faith. But when you receive Him as Savior, you'll see Him. "You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart." And so I'd ask you, will you receive Him when He comes to your place? I was thinking about that song that we sang as a choir. Boy, He's still passing by. I'm thankful for all the miracles that He did. But listen, there's not a greater miracle that He ever did than when He saved my soul from all damnation. And so I think about the fact that as a five-year-old boy on a spring evening, on a spring Sunday night, when I asked Jesus to save me in my bed, that He came by. Boy, He was passing by. I think as well, Brother Stephen, that July night when He passed by. Brother Richard, I remember that fall in 2014 when he passed by. Brother James, I remember when He passed by. And you give that account in January or July of 1995 when He passed by. Brother Scooter, He just passed by a few months ago. Allie, He passed by a few months ago. I'm thankful He's still passing by. And so will you see Him when He comes to your place? But will you receive Him as your Savior when He calls you personally? Look back over at John chapter number 20. Look at verse number 11. I think about Mary here now in verse number 20, or I'm sorry, verse number 1 through verse number 10 of chapter number 20. We find here John and Peter as they have ran to the tomb to look in. Mary Magdalene had went back as they had seen the stone rolled away. She had went back and told the other disciples, and John and Peter had ran. John had outran him. He didn't go in. He looked from the hole, from the opening, and Peter had went on in. Mary Magdalene stays for a few minutes after Peter and John go back to their home in verse number 10. And I find in John chapter number 20 and verse number 11, the Bible says, "But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher and seen two angels in white sitting, the one on at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain." Verse 13, "And they say unto her, 'Woman, why weepest thou?' She saith unto them, 'Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not
where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus, in verse 15, saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And she, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. But verse number 16, Jesus saith unto her, Mary, and she turned herself, and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. You say, Preacher, what do you mean? Oh, I'm thankful that he came to her and spoke her personally. Would you receive him as Savior when he comes to you and speaks to you personally? I've heard many preachers preach about Mary and this moment there in the garden. And they would say that Mary's heard her name many times, but she's never heard it the way that Jesus can say it. It was the moment when Jesus said, Mary. That personal, that comforting word, that way that he cried out to her and called her personally to him, that she responded with Rabboni, which is to be interpreted as Master. You say, Preacher, what are you getting at? Oh, it amazes me at how many people say that them and Jesus have a relationship and they have an agreement. Listen, may I tell you that when he calls out for you, there's only one way that we can really have an agreement. It's when we realize that he's still on the throne and he's sitting there high and lifted up, and we just come to that place that we fall down before him and worship him as Master and just praise him for who he is and what he's done. Oh, I'm thankful that it's with the heart that we believe unto salvation. Oh, I'm thankful that it's when we call out to him and ask him to save us, because he's already called us by name. Maybe you're here today and you'd say, Preacher, I don't know if I died right now that I'm going to heaven. Oh, my dear friend, let me give you the good news. There's a risen Savior, and you can know without a shadow of a doubt that he's calling you right now. And all you have to do is answer back, Rabboni, I want you to be my Savior. You say, Preacher, I know I'm saved. There's not a doubt in my mind. I know I'm saved. Oh, I wonder if you're here in this uncertainty, this uncertain time. You say, Preacher, I don't know how to get any help. I'm thankful he's still on the throne. He still calls out your name personally to you. Would you cry out today and just say, Master, I hear thy voice. Oh, when Mary had called out, and if we were to read on down in the passage, we'd find that he said, Don't touch me. I haven't been glorified yet, but I'm thankful that wasn't the case for long. He's already received his glorified body. He's already fine. We can hold him. We can love him in faith. We're here today. You say, Preacher, I just need some help. I'm thankful. There shall you see him when he calls out to you personally. Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you for your grace, your mercy, Lord. I'm thankful for a risen Savior. Father, would you meet with us this morning? Maybe there's one lost and undone. Lord, they know they're on the way to a sinner's hell. Lord, if they die right now, there's no hope in their own. But Lord, as you call out to them today, I pray that they would come and trust you for their eternal salvation, the only way that they can, through faith, by your grace. Lord, for that child of God that's here, maybe a little discouraged, maybe having some troubles, Lord, some uncertain times are upon us. I'm thankful that I have a risen Savior for such a day as this. Lord, would you just meet with us and just ask these